everybody, and welcome back to Bay House Bars. We've got an extra special episode for the end of term in season three, and I am welcoming the Mission Inclusive team. Hi, Mission Inclusive team!
Hello!
See, that's how you do it, Kate. So, essentially, these are the guys who are our disability ambassadors in the school. They've been running for now a term, Jacob?
Two terms now.
Two terms, my goodness. Two terms or two half terms?
I'm going to say two terms.
Okay, two terms. So we've got, this was a group that came from the people, for the people, and they are the representatives of our young people who have hidden or visible disabilities in the school, and they represent their voice and they bring their voice to the people that can make any changes. We're going to talk to them in a little bit, but first we're going to talk about what's been happening in the school. Who was on sports day today?
Me.
Raising your hands and show on the mic. Here we go.
I was.
So you guys, what year group are you?
Year eight.
Year eight. And how was sports day today, up the cocked hat?
Tiring.
Interesting.
Scary, was that?
Tiring.
What event did you do?
I had to do high jump and 200.
Oh, two events, and how did you do?
It was okay.
Okay. And Jess, you gave me a word there.
I did shot put.
Nice.
And I got 6.5 metres.
Whoop. Yeah. Nicely done. Very good. Love that. So, has everyone had their lunch? Are we all feeling sort of lunched up? I think I actually had sweets for lunch, everybody, because it's just whatever's left on my desk because I haven't got time to go and get food. Did we have a nice lunch today? What did we have?
I had a packed lunch.
Are we all packed lunches?
Yeah. Fish and chips and beans, my last one.
What, from the canteen? Yeah. It's fish and chip Friday.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Did anyone else have fish and chips?
I did.
Yeah, had a nice fish and chips, that tasty one. Just missed us a good fish and chips. It's been a change in the canteen this week. Has anyone heard about the changes going on in the canteen over the last week or so?
Yeah.
Connor's like, not good.
Is it not good. It's like the queue.
The queue, that's not so much the queue. It's the food.
Yeah.
Okay, so Wendy, what happened to the hot food at break?
They don't sell it anymore.
They do sell it.
Well, unless it's in a bagel.
We've had a reduction in the amount of hot food because actually it's only an hour till lunch. You don't really need a snack. Come on now. But also in that we're trying to go a little bit healthier. So we're going for healthy school status. So they're reducing the amount of deep fried brown things that are available at break time because we're going to go for a healthier menu. Also some more vegetarian options, some more vegan options, some more halal options, so it's a bit more inclusive as a menu. I know that's we're talking about actually, how do you feel about the pod being reopened and it being kind of like a vegetarian, vegan salad bar kind of thing, or would you like it to be included with everyone else's? Queue with everyone else, what do you reckon? How would that work out, do you think?
I didn't actually know it's turned into a vegetarian.
No, it hasn't yet, that's an idea they're throwing at us. What do you think of it as an idea?
Maybe you'd have to do like a survey first to see how many.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite good as well to if there's any cross contamination in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It still would come out of the same kitchen, it's just being served from somewhere else. But I like your thinking there, Connor, about cross contamination. So do you think there would be an appetite for it though?
Yeah. A lot of people are vegan and
vegetarian.
Nice. And you're up for more options, are you, Wendy?
Yeah.
Nice.
I would definitely say in the summer as well, a lot is usually a lot more salad options,
yes,
more
definitely.
Barbecue kind of like much more outside. So that would definitely be more useful.
Just talk, you have to raise your hand here.
I had a packet of bourbons for lunch because there was nothing in the canteen that was vegan.
Okay, so you had see that's not cool, is it? Nothing to eat that was vegan, so you had a packet of bourbons for lunch. Not great, is it? And actually, I know the sixth form guys have been a little bit disappointed when there's not enough options for them because you lot have been locusts and have eaten it all. So, because there's not a lot that goes over to our sixth form canteen, because obviously our canteen also feeds the fabulous sixth form. This is your last one, Jacob, oh my God. Sorry, I'm getting very upset because Jacob's leaving us soon because he's at the end of his 7-year journey with us.
Today's my last day of lessons, by chance.
Don't get me started, Jacob. I've already signed his leavers book. I got that out of the way so I didn't get emotional.
What an issue.
Jacob is literally like part of the fabric of the school. You're going to pull the little thread that is Jacob out and all the fabric falls apart. Yes, so we're going to very much miss him. But he is the inspiration for this group, obviously, and for us. You guys then got our sign language group going. You've been hugely instrumental. Has anyone been to the sign language
class? Yes.
How is that going?
Good.
Going that? How are we? Where are we at on our syllabus?
I
have no idea.
Like last week was like emotions and school subjects.
What you can't see, listeners, because again this is smell-o-vision, is that Jacob was actually just helping us out there with what they've been focused on, which is the emotions and signing across the table, which is really lush. Jacob has been teaching. Are you coming back in to teach a little bit on the club, or are you gonna just go, right, later's my summer bye?
Well, I'm taking a couple of weeks off, but then in July I'll be coming back to help up with some extra stuff.
And a well-earned couple of weeks it'll be too, because over the last couple of weeks, everybody who is listening, we've got signing. That is really distracting, guys, so I'm trying to remember my signing. Good crew, they're not helping me, team. Over the last 2 weeks, we have had exams going on for our GCSE and A-level students. Well done, you guys, for making it to the peak, the midpoint. How are you two feeling? Or three feeling, sorry, Miles.
Feeling very tired.
Is it, how have you found kind of just literally the real deal versus mocks?
I think it was really helpful to have mocks to get like into the rhythm of doing it. I find it like not as nerve-wracking as I expected it to be because I've done it so many times before.
Nice, eloquently put as well. Absolutely, I think, does it feel different at all or does it just feel the same?
It feels the same, but I found the mocks, I found the GCSEs easier and the mocks harder.
That is, Did you see that? I was like, don't knock on the table! We used to have, in the proper podcast team, we used to have someone who just was always banging on the table, didn't we? And I had to keep telling them off, because it's horrible for the listeners to hear. Okay, elsewhere around the schools, we've had our menu changes going on, and the menus generally are changing. So there's more healthier foods coming online, a lot more kind of the wraps that are healthier than sandwiches, stuff like that. So there will be a student survey going out to see what kind of things you want to see in there. So at that point, everyone will ask, you know, if you're vegan, if you're vegetarian, because you're right. Putting out a survey and asking who's there is the best idea. So what else has been going on the streets of Bay House this week? Has anyone got any news they want to share with the world? What's been going on? Anything? No?
I successfully sung You Give Love a Bad Name.
Okay. Ooh,
for
nice.
for the summer concert.
Nice. That is hard as well.
That is a hard song to sing.
That is a very hard song.
I didn't have a voice after Wednesday.
I'm not surprised. Well done. And obviously a fantastic musician you are too. It's drums you play as well, isn't it?
No.
Why am I thinking you play drums?
I don't know.
Or was it that I was just back? I said that when you showed me the video and you were like, this is me singing, and I said the drummer's really good in this.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Not that you weren't singing really well at all. Awkward. But yeah, there was a drum song in that. I thought that was banging. Wendy?
The anti-bullying ambassadors after Mr. Poynton left, we're kind of in a shambles, but we are rebuilding, we are relaunching absolutely everything. Me and a couple others met with Mr. Kitchen Thursday 2 to 5, and after half term, we are going to relaunch everything and it's going to be perfect.
It is. Perry's taking over, that's why. So, yes. We've got loads of different ambassadors groups. We've got our anti-bullying ambassadors, we've got the disability ambassadors who are mission inclusive in the room, and then we've also got our mental health ambassadors. They are our character champions of the school. They're going to come together, they're going to have all of you together for a big kind of right. You are the driving force behind our community. It's really important we get you together because you are the ones who are pushing forward our kindness, our self-regulation and our resilience across the school. You're our kindness champions. So it's really important that we get you all together. So I'm glad you've said that because I was a little bit worried about our anti-bullying ambassador. I did see an anti-bullying ambassador with her badge on and everything being quite unkind to somebody the other day and we had to have words. I think it's possible because you haven't had that regular meeting recently. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really glad you guys are kicking back off. Me and Mr. Kitchen meeting with you. We are a bit of a dream team with that stuff. We're meeting with you just after half term.
I used to send disappointing angry emails with lists on how to do what to do next.
You do fill my inbox, so I think we might have our Jacob the Second. Got on.
I want to talk. The year 10s have almost finished their mocks.
Almost.
We've got a few more next month. I think everyone's doing quite well with their revision and how hard they're working on everything.
Absolutely. Big up the attends, honestly. It's a tough time. It's that first time you do it as well. It always feels like, oh my God, this is the worst. And it's when you first get your results back and you go, oh, this is the end of the world. It's not. It's halfway through. It's fine. It's just to see how you're doing. And I know a few of my health and social guys have come to me and gone, oh, I got this mark and it's really awful in my test for maths. I was like, it's okay. You've got half the course still to go. Relax. Got loads of time. So yeah, it'll be fine. But yeah, well done for year 10 who you've been powering through. Yours have been spread out. It feels a bit weird, doesn't it? They've probably been spread out around sort of lots of time, but there we go. I'm going to flick us now over to Votes for Schools this week, if I may, because that is our kind of primary voice capture of the week. And the conversation this week was around should accent be a protected characteristic? Now, I am quite famous around the world for doing lessons in stupid accents because I'm daft and I get very bored of my own voice. Not that you can tell on the podcast. And so I have taught an entire lesson in a French accent before. And there's kind of, as much as you go, oh, that's really funny, but actually, is that offensive? And I've dialed it back. What do we think?
Actually, I think that it depends. If it's your being mean to someone because of their accent, that is offensive. If you are, you don't make a joke about an accent when it's you're trying to like imitate it and just try and like make it offensive. And okay. But if it's like it depends on the accent as well. It does. It's because there's specific accents that you cannot do, and it's just really offensive to do them. That is,
for example,
if like some of the Southeast Asian accents,
okay.
That is, it would be classed if a white person done them as racist,
or a person of a different race,
different race,
okay.
Who
like
not
people
Asian.
Like imitating deaf accents. As
yes,
well.
Absolutely.
Exactly what I was
that
thinking.
Is,
yeah.
That is just so wrong in every way.
So is it the mocking?
It's the mocking
issue.
Of
yeah.
it. That's the issue.
Yeah.
It should be definitely protected. It
okay.
is.
Go for it.
I've also seen videos where people are imitating accents in like a bad way of autistic people, and like over like making them sound like small children, even though we just have we might speak slightly different or more posh, because some people might pronounce their words more properly.
Absolutely,
it's demeaning.
It is demeaning, and I think there is a trend towards code switching. Do we know what code switching is?
Yes, we've just done it in English.
Talk to me about it then, Wendy.
It's
nice and loud so the mic can hear you.
I think it's where you sort of switch from one language to another in short spaces of time. I do that sometimes at home and in class, yeah, when I get angry. that's
so you're multilingual or bilingual?
Bilingual.
Okay, oh, honestly.
Yeah. Mandarin and English.
Is anyone else here bilingual?
A bit of Japanese.
I speak a bit of Mandarin, I do.
Wow. Goodness. There's quite a few, again, podcasts, you can't hear us, or
yeah.
see us rather, but there's a few hands in the room, and this, for me, astonishes me. I sometimes struggle to think and speak in the same language, and I only speak one. But people who can switch between languages, because you're thinking in one language and speaking in another,
yeah.
your brain power astonishes me. It's amazing. Yeah. And often when you're immersed in a language at home that isn't the language you speak on a day-to-day basis,
yeah.
that's incredible. I do it with accents. So I will speak quite clearly, quite properly, quite like you said, posh,
yeah.
perhaps. And I'll enunciate. And then when I go back up Croydon, I might talk a bit more like that. And it well, there are words in there. And I code switch more with my accent than actually with the actual language.
Yeah.
I think some of us may do this to try and be perhaps accepted by groups, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wendy?
Sometimes when someone switches from accent to an accent to another accent, that confuses me because I'm trying to listen to a British accent speaking English, but I'm listening to a Scottish accent speaking English, then a Wales accent. It's just all over the place.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I find that difficult as well.
Yeah.
yeah.
Do you think that's why there's the rise of people just watching everything with subtitles on?
Yeah.
But you can follow it. It's very easy to follow it now. It is, especially because of my deafness. I need something to follow, so I just don't mishear words and stuff. Or very strong, like Scottish accent, which is a very strong accent. I will not understand a word you can say,
it's
so I need something
same.
To follow.
yeah.
With accents. See, this is something that me and my dad do. It's called the chameleon effect, where if you have an accent, somebody speaking in a Scottish accent or an Irish accent or something, you accidentally kind of slip into the accent, and you can't do it on demand. But it's just subconsciously that you do it. And the amount of times that me and my dad have been like shouted at because apparently we're making fun of accents, but we've gone, we're not purposely doing this. You speak in this accent, I accidentally copy this accent.
I'm exactly the
yeah.
same. I
yeah,
was at university in Yorkshire, up the north, and lots of people went to the university there that were from the local area. There were lots of northern accents, Yorkshire accents, Manchukuonian accents, Newcastle. And so I was immersed in a northern accent or a Midlands accent as well. And so I phoned my mum, and she didn't know it was me. Because this very Croydon girl was talking to her like this, and I was just talking about a broad northern accent. She didn't really know it was me. And she couldn't quite fathom. She's like, hang on, sorry, who is this? And she had to keep reminding me. And then it slipped through Scouse into Newcastle and then sort of down the A1 and back to London again. And it was almost like she was following me home on the A1 because she couldn't quite figure out who it was on the phone. But we do, and I think a lot of us do that. When we're listening to somebody, we might sort of not mimic, but pick up on elements of their accent. Friday is the end of term. So I'm going to ask you this question then. What is a protected characteristic? Because I started with, you know, the votes for schools. Should accent be a protected characteristic? What is it? Go.
Protected characteristic is a characteristic that you cannot discriminate by the 2010 Crime Act laws.
Beautifully done. Nice. That's a round of applause. So, ultimately we've got enshrined in law in the Equalities Act of 2010, well remembered, you should do health and social care by the way, we talk about this a lot. There are nine currently protected characteristics. Can anyone remember what any of them are? If you're stuck with some pictures behind me. Go.
Disability.
Yes.
Race.
Race.
Gender.
Gender.
Sexual orientation.
Age.
Age.
Maternity.
Maternity.
Sex.
Sex. Marital status.
Religion.
Religion.
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy. Good. That wasn't in mine, but it was close. So, no more pictures behind me. So there's lots there. And the question is, should accent be protected as well? And I think we've kind of unpicked why it might be. But the first one we said there was disability, and you guys are our disability ambassadors, our mission inclusive. And we purposely called it inclusive rather than disability ambassadors on our kind of stuff. Yeah. Because we wanted to be about everybody being included, didn't we?
Yeah.
Even if they didn't have a disability,
exactly,
to be involved and make sure that everyone's aware. So just bringing that inclusion,
yes,
just allows everyone to have that same awareness, but also everyone feeling involved and, you know, trusted with each other.
Absolutely. So why do you think we're needed? Why do you think Mission Inclusive needs to be a thing?
I feel like if people like aren't feeling that included, or like there's something happening, yes, like in class and don't feel like they can go to their teachers, then they've got someone of their own age that they can go to if they've been left out or not included in anything.
Absolutely. Now, we've just taken delivery of some badges. If everyone taps their badges, this won't come across. Everyone's tapping. There you go, sound effect, sound effect. We've all been given our badges, so hopefully we'll make them nice and visible. When we come back after half term, maybe put them on your lapel of your shirt. It's a bit of a more comfortable place to have them. But then it's not going to rub against your skin, just thinking sensory awareness. They'll all be nice and visible. So if you see someone with a pastel rainbow badge on a grey background, those are your Mission Inclusive officers. And they are someone you can go and talk to if you're struggling. Kira, go.
Also, I would like to say Mission Inclusive also wants to educate the people around us who do not are not friends with people with disabilities or know anybody with disabilities and are not educated in it. We want to educate them, and so for them to understand that these people are around, please don't try and be mean in any way. See what is happening in their lives, is because that those people you're going to meet all over in your life, and you need to be educated on that so you don't be rude in any way.
And that's intentional rudeness and unintentional rudeness,
yeah,
isn't it?
Both, yeah.
Because sometimes, we talk about microaggressions, don't we? So things that people say, oh, it's just not normal to blah, 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 blah. And that actually, it's sort of like, okay, it's just not normal, but does that mean I'm not normal?
Yeah.
And there are people with hidden disabilities that you might not even know there's anything going on for that person, but you've just been quite offensive.
Yes.
So, we've been speaking about those things together, haven't we? Go for it.
Also, the awareness we spread will help when you grow up and when you get a job, if you're at a shop or you're working at a restaurant and someone who has a disability asks for something, they might seem off or be really uncomfortable. And if you are aware of why they might or how to help them, then that would be great.
That's really awesome, actually.
Yeah.
And thinking about how you'd use it in the community in the future, that's actually really important, and not really something I've considered very much, actually, because I'm just really focused on you.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of workplaces are trying to be a bit more inclusive for disabilities and the protected characteristics, so they are actually looking for more people who have training in that specific area to be in for that job.
Absolutely, because actually they'll make the workplace better for everybody. So that's essentially you. You are our officers that will make life better for the people of the school, because you guys have stepped forward and said this is what we want to be and what we want to do. But there's more than you out there. There are more hearing impaired students than you. There are more visually impaired students than you. More people who have different autistic diagnoses than you. There are people all over the school. Thank you for that comment. That was a beautiful little comment. He's repping the autism there. So it's really, really important that we know that actually this group here is just a tiny fraction of the population. Because there are so many hidden disabilities out there. A friend of mine has a disorder where she has a stoma, which is a bag that's attached to her stomach, mm-hmm. and she doesn't go to the toilet normally, and so she has a pass that she puts on her car so she can park really close to the entrance, so because if she needs to get to the toilet quickly, she needs to get there quickly. So she was parking and she got out of her car and she was going to go to the loo and someone stopped her. She got her blue badge in the front of her car and they said, "You don't look like you're disabled, go and move your car."
Disgusting. That is disgusting.
Exactly.
I have a blue badge. You have a blue badge. You're allowed to park there.
Yeah. They don't just hand them out like badges. Oh, hang on. They don't just hand them out. They're not just like, you know, here, have a blue pass. So she found she had to get quite past quite an aggressive person to get into the shop, to get to the toilet, to do what she needed to do to keep herself healthy and safe. And that's the sort of community we need to avoid being. Just because I can't see that there's something different doesn't mean there's something different. And I say different and not wrong. I'm going to come around. Go for it.
That's happened to my dad before because my dad's disabled and he was helping my mum out with a school fair that she was doing because she owns a plant pot business,
cool.
which she paints pots, and I think he got a note on his car saying that he can't park there because he doesn't look disabled when he has a few discs in his lower back that have popped out of place,
wow.
so he has to use walking sticks. And he had surgery a few months ago.
And that's not fair, is it, for him to then be targeted by somebody who thinks they know better?
Yeah.
So I have an invisible disability myself. Does anyone think they know what it is?
Ooh.
Kira?
Is it ADHD?
It's not ADHD, but I can see why you might think it was.
I feel like I remember something about dyslexia.
No, my husband is dyslexic. But yes, that's why you remember it. That's why it's connected to me. Go for it.
Could it be autism?
It's not autism. It's hard to say, right?
Yeah.
And some people might go, no, no. None of these guesses are offensive because none of these things are wrong.
I think definitely a good point is that when people, some people can be unhappy when people guess they got the wrong disability and
Absolutely.
Make them offensive. That, you know, they think I've
How
got this.
How dare you think I've got that?
However,
yeah.
if we become a more open society, we're able to actually go, oh no, I've not got that, but I'm happy to tell you about something else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the whole point is, you can't tell.
No.
There's no certain way.
No.
Yeah.
And even when there are a set of traits of similar characteristics between different disabilities, even then, sometimes it can be very difficult to go, oh, actually, that person has this thing, and therefore they will always behave like this. And that's not true because we are all different.
Yeah.
Every one of us. Even people who all are dyslexic in different ways.
Yeah.
So it's really important we just essentially embrace everybody's different and everybody's equal.
Don't put them in a box.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go for it. We're coming around.
Also, it's not just like parking spaces.
Mm.
It is also like everywhere that's for disabilities.
Mm.
Because there have been multiple times where like people have recalled stories where they just went to the toilet because they can't handle the crowds, or maybe like the blow dryer where to dry your hands, or maybe it's just like the smell, or it's, you know, the fact that there are germs there because there's more people in one place, and then they end up getting like shouted at, or they feel bad about themselves because someone has told them they don't look disabled, or there is someone who does look disabled waiting, and they feel like, well, I'm not disabled enough to use this bathroom.
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
Talking about the toilets as well, there was there was one time an incident where I was over in V block in a math lesson, and I needed to go to the toilet, but the only toilets unlocked at the time were all the way over in B block, and because I have bladder problems, I couldn't physically walk all the way over to B block just to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
So the U office actually told me that if I needed to go, I could ask them to unlock the staff disabled toilet to go in there. So when I went, I asked if it could be unlocked and be like, oh, why do you need to go in there? Why do you need to go in there? And be like, sorry, I have a bladder condition. I physically can't make it over there.
Mm.
And like,
And in that moment is stressful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you just need to get to the loo. I think we need to really consider, because obviously there are 2,500 children and I don't always know the people because I don't teach them or I don't see them like I see you guys. It can be really hard. There's going to be a bit of noise, guys, by the way. The bell's going to go soon. It can be really hard to know, can't it? But actually it's just about being open and listening to the young person in front of you and thinking they're going to be genuine with me. I need to help them in that moment. Jess?
Going back to your previous point about trying to guess your hidden disability, people on a personal level, my brother is suspected to be on the autism spectrum. And my aunt and uncle are very kind of not like rude about it, but quite defensive about it and go, oh, it was all because of COVID. And I think it's such a like taboo topic about disabilities because if you don't look physically disabled, to say, if you're not in a wheelchair, if you're not in crutches, then you're not disabled. That's such a common misconception.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for
and
it.
With that COVID thing, like, I think a lot of people think that, oh, everyone nowadays has some sort of disability, that's quite like a stereotypical idea.
Yeah, I think.
But it's only because now you're hearing about disabilities because we speak up about it now.
Visibility is more and more important for us to be open and say, okay, you might not be able to see my disability, but I'm coming out to you as someone who is disabled. I'm telling you I'm disabled. Whether you can see my disability or not, I'm still here. And that's more visible than it's ever been. And I think that's why, when I was a kid, it's not like that. Well, there's lots of hands, there's lots of voices, and we've got 2 minutes. Go. Quick.
About the stereotypes.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that being in a wheelchair means that you're disabled.
Mm-hmm.
You can be disabled if you have a disability. It's not just because of that. Just wanted to make that one clear.
Okay, cool. Jacob.
I just want to say one final thing is a good way of saying, asking someone what disability they've got is such as like, Mrs. Perry, if you feel comfortable, would you mind sharing what disability you have?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That's
absolutely
a great way because it means that if they feel comfortable, they can say it, but it just means that you're aware that they may not feel comfortable. So that'd be a really good thing to say.
Absolutely. And it's that if you're comfortable is the most important thing, if you'd like to share.
On the riff when we said about everyone saying there's more and more people with disabilities today, I know with autism, I don't know about anything else, but the first person who's ever diagnosed, I've read that they are still alive. So it's more common because it's only just in the last 100 years been discovered.
Absolutely, because it's such a relevant and recent thing. So we've got such a recent sort of diagnosis that
it's
happening more and more frequently.
Ten.
Exactly.
Yeah.
1 in 10, that's a lot of people. So that's why it feels more frequent. Now go to the last comment, go.
It's also because people are being more aware and because there has been more access with the internet to people to share their stories and how people think that they don't fit in and how they've only just realised they're disabled because they've got help from the internet.
Absolutely, and there's a sense that the internet can build that community, just like you've built a community here, which is really lovely. I'm going to pause us just there. We were chatting just off air, folks, about the uniform changes. There's going to be some try-on sessions for anyone who is concerned about the textures, about the fabrics and how they feel. So Print and Sew, who are our local uniform supplier, are going to be doing some measuring up so the uniform is comfortable for you, and they're going to be doing some try-on sessions so you can feel the fabrics and find different things that suit and fit you really comfortably. There are huge rumours floating and flying around that are just stressing people out. And actually, what's really important is you just stick to the facts that were sent out. This is what's been sent out. This is what we need to remember. Try not to create a rumour mill that might actually cause someone distress, cause upset, because they're worried about something that is actually not true. In the background, you may faintly hear the bell. That is Jacob's final bell of his lessons ever. Can we all just give Jacob a massive round of applause? He has been an absolute legend, and I say the fabric of the community will be very different and very changed without him. Just take his lanyard off and I'm going to take it home and burn it. Thank you so much for joining us for Bay House Buzz this week, Mission Inclusive. You guys have been amazing. What a crowd. I like this lot. We can do it again. You are always welcome to come back on a Friday lunchtime when I'm recording. Thank you so much, Bay House Buzz listeners. We'll see you again soon. Enjoy your half term. Bye!